Now, the Trail Talk Podcast. Anything and everything snowmobiling. From UpstateSnow.com. Here's meteorologist Rich Lupia.
It is time for the Trail Talk Podcast. Believe it or not, it's September. We're in season three, and we have from the Ohio Ridge Riders, the treasurer and longtime friend and snowmobile buddy, John Bates. Thank you so much for joining us on the Skype.
My pleasure, Rich. Glad to be here, and thanks for having me.
And it only is fitting that we lead off with you. It is mid-September. Even though the mosquitoes are still biting and even though the temperatures are still up, the days are getting shorter, the leaves are starting to change, and the third weekend in September is always snow bash. And unlike last year when we weren't able to gather together, we are able to this year. That's the big thing that I want to get out there and promote. So tell us more about snow bash for this upcoming third weekend in September and give us some details that people want to know.
So it's very exciting to be back this year. It's it would have been our 29th year. We started in 1992. We all know that COVID put us down last year, but we're excited to bring Snow Bash back. It serves our community and our club and our racing community very well. Racing starts promptly at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. We're going to lead off with the Skinner Brothers Racing Pro Stock 1000 and Pro Stock 800 Shootout. They have graciously stepped up to sponsor that. So the big guns will be out in full force right off the bat, Rich. We're pretty excited. And then we've got our normal race with all the different classes, depending on the sleds that come that follow after that. It'll be two full days of racing, and most of the finals will be on Sunday. So it's a two-day event. We're pretty excited about it this year.
Okay, so after the big kickoff, we're going to have the bracket racing, as you said. Obviously, one thing that was a big attraction for folks was the racers coming in from across the border. Now, of course, if they were coming from across the southern border, we may not have this issue, but because it's the northern border, not to get too political here, but unfortunately, Canada shut out of this.
Yeah, it looks that way. I don't think we can rule them out showing up because you never know. But we're a little concerned that we're not going to have the racers that we normally have because a lot of our racers come from Quebec, Ontario, and New Brunswick and to our northern friends there. And we're not sure that they're going to be able to make it given the border restrictions that are in place right now. But you never know. There's a lot of people out there that maybe have been sitting on the sidelines and had a year, an extra year to get their machines all tuned up and want to come out and give the track hell.
That actually sounds great. So what classes are going to be competing there for folks that want to maybe jump in on this? They think it might be an opportunity. If they want to get involved as a racer, what things do they need to provide you guys, and what classes and what divisions are there for somebody that might be interested in taking part next weekend?
Yeah, so I mean, they're really, Rich, it depends on who shows up and who brings machines. We have classes from Pro Stock 1000, Pro Stock 800, Open Mod, Heavy Mod. You know, the Open Mod are the real, 114 miles an hour and 500 feet. We also have some stock classes that are there. It really depends on what iron the racers bring. I mean, we create classes depending if we get more than four sleds. We usually run the race. So it depends on what comes. But the real big ones are the Pro Stocks and the Heavy Mod and Open Mods. Those are the ones that we usually get 24 to 25 racers in each class. And, it's a lot of fun. And as far as what they need to bring, pros already know, you've got to have all your weights correctly. You can't, there's certain specifications that have to be met for each class that are laid out by the tech guys. And then we also have amateur races on Sunday, Rich, when we're doing our finals, given the pros time to cool down between races, we mix in the amateurs in there and allows some good fun. And I don't want to forget about the kitty cat races and the 200 races that we have.
That is definitely one of the more popular ones because everyone wants to see their kids fly down the track. Fly being a relative term, of course.
That's right. We do that on Sunday, usually when we're getting down to the last finals and we need to make final track preparations and get the starting line taken care of and things like that. We take about an hour to do that, water the track. But while we're doing that, at the far end of the track, we have our own little port-a-tree timing system that we use, and Flint Stone, that's his name, Flint Stone runs the kitty cat races.
Yabba dabba doo!
That's right.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. And I remember a couple of years ago when Zach and I were up there and we were recording, there was this one that just, like, was a bullet compared to the other kids, and I caught the end of the video was just Zach saying, he smoked him. I mean, he was only doing probably 20 something miles an hour, but compared to the other kids doing about 5 or 10, that would relatively be smoking. But of course, you know, it's just the fun with the families being out there. And that's really what it's all about, because us as a snowmobiling community, we have not had the chance to come together at all like this on this big of a scale last season. Tell me about some of the vendors that you know that should be coming in. Obviously, there's inventory considerations because, well, you can't find anything, and if you can find it, it's way more expensive than it was last year. Not telling you anything new there.
Yeah, we've got Curve Industries coming in with Curve Skis, Moody Polaris. I think Quebeca's Polaris is going to be there. We got Off-Road ER, a local repair shop, is going to be there. Upstate Snow is going to be there. That's a big one, right?
You had to give it away. You had to give it away. No, wait a minute. No, I already announced that.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, Zach and I, you know. Zach and I will be there. You know, on Saturday for sure. We're gonna try and come on Sunday, but we have some other personal things that have come up that might prevent us from being there. But Saturday for sure. And if you see a little drone flying around, with my son, you know, kind of looking down, yeah, that'd be him.
That'll be fun. Just get some good footage. Also, Blizzard Manufacturing, this is the Blizzard 500. They're our primary sponsor for the whole event. They're going to have a whole array of trailers there on display and for sale. They always raffle off a trailer. That's a lot of fun. We do that right at the end of the race along with our big raffle giveaway that we have going on. And then D&D Racing is going to be there as a vendor. And the Crank Shop is sponsoring our Bashmaster, which is bracket racing, where we take four different classes based on their times, and then we stagger the start and see who has the best reaction time, essentially. It's a real close race, and I know a lot of people stay to the very end on Sunday to watch that.
What are some other things that, for somebody who has not been to Snow Bash, that is not familiar with the setup, what are some helpful tips and tricks that you can give folks that may be coming in from downstate, that may be coming in from the New York City area, people that may not have attended this event in the past or in a long time? Just give them some reminders as to what to expect when they get there in terms of parking, in terms of food, in terms of what's there for them. And right now the forecast is looking to be warm, and we don't have to tell you about the mosquitoes. Just bring bug repellent.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. We were setting up this weekend and the mosquitoes weren't bad up there. People want to bring hearing protection for sure. These are very loud machines, you know, putting out a lot of horsepower and putting out a lot of speed. We use this as a community event for food. So a lot of our local churches and community folks have vendors there for food. There will be a chicken barbecue going on there throughout the weekend. It's $10 admission for everybody. 12 and under is free. And it's been that same price for the last 20 years. So it's a good, cheap fun. And with the variety of vendors, we have some crafters going to be there. There's just a lot of different things going on and a lot of different things to see. And it's well worth the family atmosphere for $10 per person to come and see some good racing, some good vendors, and have some good food.
So let's switch over to why you guys even created Snow Bash in the first place. This has been a big fundraiser for the Ohio Ridge Riders, one of the key clubs in upstate New York, particularly in that transition area from deep in the Adirondacks out towards the Tug Hill and towards the Mohawk Valley and a lot of the clubs north of the Mohawk Valley. You guys have a lot of critical corridor trails that people pass through to get from point A to point B. This was one of your biggest fundraisers. Tell us how you got through last year with just the raffle and without Snow Bash, and what's going on with the club right now and what you're planning on doing with the funds that you're raising with Snow Bash this year.
Well, one thing that people might not know is the funds from the raffle. Last year, that was how we got through. But the funds from the raffle in normal years when we have Snow Bash, the money actually goes to the purse for the racers itself. That's what draws the racers in. I would say we pay more than anybody else with our bonus money from that big raffle. So that's how we got through, is we had the raffle still last year, you know, so we were able to partially make up for that loss due to COVID. But yeah, it goes into maintaining our groomers, and we have 94 miles of trails, like you said, in the Adirondacks and just south of the Adirondacks. And as you know, those groomers are very expensive. They use a lot of diesel fuel. A brand new one is somewhere around $250,000.
That's just absolutely insane. I mean, when you think about the cost of everything right now, how these snowmobile clubs even got going in the first place, but 1967, right?
Yes, I believe it was. That's when the club was founded. We think we have about 400 to 500 members. You know, right now we're in the middle of renewal season, and that fluctuates up and down. But definitely we couldn't make the trail system the way it is without our volunteers and our club members. And also a lot of local support, you know, the Ohio Tavern, the Alamo, the Blue Anchor, Jason Bartlett Excavating. Those folks, you know, really volunteer a lot and donate to the club to make it all possible and to make our trail system the best it can be.
Yeah, speaking of, I know Bartlett Excavating was a key community volunteer that helped you recover from the Halloween flash floods 2 years ago. And I know that they donated a lot of time, a lot of hours, a lot of money and materials to help. Have you fully recovered and patched things up from there? Or are you guys still playing catch up on maintenance and different things? And even with the storms that have come through this year, I'm sure there's some extra cleanup.
Yeah, I would say we are fully recovered from the floods from Halloween. If that was the one positive benefit of COVID, is that we had a lot of club members, you know, there wasn't anything going on. So we had plenty of time to get out there and get back in the trails and the remote areas where we hadn't been to in a while, be able to get some new bridges maintained and some new bridges installed and our old bridges maintained. So I think, you know, from what I heard from everybody last year, it was one of the best maintained trail systems around. I know everybody puts in a lot of effort in the other trail systems, but, you know, particularly the trail that goes C4B to C4 up in towards Jersey Field and Salisbury, that needed a lot of effort, and this year we really were able to make that happen and make that much better.
That's Mosquito Hill, right?
That's C4C, and okay. So that is over there. So all C4B, right. C4C, and C4 headed towards Salisbury and up towards Hamilton County. Yep, those are the trails, Rich. Yep.
Right. So speaking of that, the big trail, the big backcountry trail that you have, the one that goes up from Haskell's and Nobleboro up literally into the middle of nowhere and connects with the Trackside Trailblazers in North Lake, C4H. Tell me about what happened with that trail and everything that you guys had to go through getting that trail rehabbed and back online.
Yeah, C4H took a lot of, there was a lot of rain, right? And that's in our northern sector, and the rain ran downhill and took a lot of bridges out. And we worked with the DEC, was able, last year the DEC went in there and replaced a bridge over Little Salmon Creek or Little Salmon River up in there. That trail is one of the most remote trails you'll ever go on. You know, it's roughly 20 to 25 miles in the middle of nowhere with no cell service. So we have to make sure that we get it opened and maintained correctly. And most people don't know, but we can't get up in there with a big groomer. So those are maintained with our fleet of Scandix and Mogul Master drags and some flat drags that go up through there. Very difficult to maintain.
And so when people want to try something like that, when there is a lot of cold and snow, if they were to try an epic loop like that to go around from, say, Old Forge and from the Trackside Blazers side and come around that way through the backcountry, the true backcountry of the Adirondacks, down into your neck of the woods, what would you suggest for somebody to even attempt that? How long approximately does it take, and what stuff do you need to have on you, and how many people should you be taking with you?
Yeah, you definitely don't want to do that alone, Rich. That goes without saying. And, you know, the snow is significantly deeper when you get up on top of Round Top Mountain and heading towards South Lake. Roughly double the snow that you would get down in the Pole and Colebrook area. So you want to not go alone. And then always check with the club on Facebook. You know, look at our trail updates and see if that trail is actually open, because it takes a lot to punch through if we get a tremendous amount of snow. We're going through there with Scandix first a few times to try to widen and pack it down before we can even get in there with the drag. So it's important to check with the club. A lot of people do it. They send us a personal message on Facebook, or we post whenever we're doing something up in there. And so just check with the club on Facebook. And then also, you know, we try to keep that updated routinely. And the other thing is, Rich, you asked how long. It's a trail that you shouldn't go over 25 miles an hour on at all. And, you know, so it's going to take you a couple hours to go from the, you know, the Ohio area all the way up to South Lake. But to make the whole loop, you know, down through McKeever, Forestport, Alder Creek, and that way, that's a full day ride right there, you know, to come all the way around. It's it'd be one of the most beautiful and scenic rides you've ever taken, and well worth it. But you got to plan for a day trip.
Make sure that you have a couple of people. Make sure that they know exactly where you're going and exactly how you're making the loop. And bring survival stuff with you in case something happens. Because, like you said, no cell service back there. You are as remote as you can get.
Yeah, you got to think about gas, too. You know, Ohio Tavern has gas, and then up in Paseco has gas. But other than that, you're waiting until you get to Forestport McKeever before you have another gas station. So you want to make sure you got a full tank when you start going through that neck of the woods.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's just good advice when riding in the backcountry and in the Adirondacks, but particularly on that, because that is one of the most remote trails. That's one that I've only come partially way down from the track side. Down towards North Lake, but not quite, but not on your side. That's something I've always wanted to do. Maybe I'll get lucky and have a chance to do it this winter, but I appreciate the advice and prepping me for that. So give us a situation with the clubs right now, with funding from the state. Those memberships are absolutely critical at this point. That people not only join where they ride, but that they join those clubs quickly so you can get funding. What are the main things that you are looking to do this winter, besides obviously grooming and hoping that we get a lot of snow? What are some other projects that are coming up that people need to know about and hope to support you with?
Yeah, they're really, you know, we try to improve our bridges, that's the thing that we're on a rotation, you know, and you have to make sure you're maintaining those bridges when you're taking a 12,000 to 14,000 pound groomer across those bridges. We have to get the decking and making sure the supports, the beams underneath are in good shape. And we're going to continue to work on the C4 and C4C up through Mosquito Hill where we can, or it's not on state land. We did have the DEC up in Mosquito Hill. There was a beaver dam that, was up in there a number of years ago, and we had gotten a permit and got that out of there, but there is still some running water, and they have scouted that out and are going to be putting a bridge in there and also another bridge on the Jersey Field Trail going towards Salisbury, which is all in the plans for this, hopefully this winter, with the DEC in conjunction with the club. And then, you know, it's maintaining, you know, when you have 94 miles, it takes a lot of volunteers and a lot of effort to have that brushed out, you know, the rocks removed, and to make sure we're maintaining a nice, safe trail system.
If there's one thing that one wish that you would have, or one thing that you would hope to accomplish this year with the club in this season, what would it be?
It would actually be get those mosquito, the DEC, to be able to get in there and construct those bridges. Because as you know, sometimes things move slow with the state. It took us a year and a half to get the one done on C4H that we were just talking about. And I hope that the funding and the resources are there with the DEC to go in there and get that done. We've had some people, a real cold winter where that running water can get set up, and you know, there's only so much, you know, pine branches and stuff you could throw in to try to get it froze up. So I would say the biggest accomplishment would be to try to get those bridges done on up in Mosquito Hill and on the Jersey Field side.
Okay, so before we wrap up this podcast, remind people with everything with Snow Bash and with the big raffle. Again, it may very well be sold out or close to sold out by the time this podcast gets up, but we'll still provide the links in the description with the podcast. Just give us basic information, not just for Snow Bash, but also when the club meetings are and how people can get involved and support the club.
All right, so Snow Bash is this weekend, the 18th and 19th of September. Racing starts at 11, $10 admission, under 12 is free. Our big raffle tickets are almost sold out, Rich. It's pretty amazing. We had less than 40 tickets available as of Saturday, and we've already sold at least 10, I would say. So the chances of somebody getting a ticket at Snow Bash are probably slim. So if you want to get it, you can visit our Facebook page. We take Venmo, and also we can send a ticket in the mail if necessary. And join the club. You know, it's money well spent. The money goes directly into the trail system. And we appreciate all the support. We're looking for a great winner. Hopefully Rich can dial us up a great cold snowy forecast for us for the winter.
Is there anything that I can send? Anything that I can send? Yes, I know. Pressure's on, as it has been every winter here. Going into our 10th anniversary is next September 15th. It was September 15th, 2012, which was the opening day of Snow Bash in 2012, when Upstate Snow was launched. I put live that first day and told a lot of people about it at Snow Bash. Some people were like, oh, wow, that's interesting. I ought to check it out. Some people thought I was crazy, and yet here we are. I'm still here.
That's right.
And you're still here, and the club is still here doing a great job. Appreciate all that you folks do at the Ohio Ridge Riders. Treasurer for the Ohio Ridge Riders, John Bates, get out to Snow Bash. You'll see me and Zach and a lot of great people in the snowmobiling community, thousands of friends and family coming together in the sunshine, in the wide open air, at the edge of the Adirondacks, vitamin D, killing off whatever's left at the Delta. We'll just leave it at that. John Bates, thank you so much for coming on the Trail Talk podcast and opening up season 3 for us.
My pleasure, Rich. Let's hope for a great season.
Thanks for listening. For more podcasts and videos, visit upstatesnow.com.